Hey guys, I'm Angel.
Hey, I'm Kun, and from a sunny Mostar, welcome to the Bridge of Stories podcast. We've been away for a bit, we've had a lot of COVID going around, but we're back now and hopefully every week until we graduate.
So today we have Helen and Bianca from Austria to talk about the celebration of Austria Day. So guys, can you give us a brief introduction on when is it and what is it about?
So on the 26th of January in 1788, that was the first day where people from the British colonizers raised a British flag in Australia, and they had been around the continent for longer before that, but then they set foot in like what we now know as Sydney Harbour and raised the British flag. And so now today, in mainstream like white Australian society, it's celebrated as Australia Day, so you celebrate like Australian culture and history and everything. But because it marks the start of the colonization of the people in the land who were already there, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, who we also call First Nation people, for them it's a day of mourning and a day of grief and pain. So there's movements to change or abolish the date.
Okay, so those people, like you mentioned about the First Nations, so those people, they're like indigenous people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do they have like a community to live together nowadays, or they're like separated all over the country?
Well, they're not really separated. Most of it, because of what we're going to talk about, what happened was they were actually assimilated. So they were kind of brought into the society and under their impression at the 1910s, where they thought they were going to help them actually by bringing them into Australian society. Obviously not correct and very racist in nature, but that unfortunately meant that a lot of these Aboriginal people, they lost their traditions and their language, and some of them are still carried out today. But generally there's been an entire genocide of culture in Australia.
Yeah, and there was like before colonization, there was not one culture, there were over 500 like cultures and languages throughout the countries, which were obviously interacting with each other, but all distinct with their own laws and like social relations and everything.
Yeah, that's very true. Like Australia's like Aboriginal people, like our First Nations people, were very diverse, and like even if you pull up a map, you can like Google it quickly, you'll see that each one had its own different like districts. And coming into acknowledgement of country, that's why it's very important to acknowledge whose country it is as well, not just generalize them all under the same category, because they are all very individual in nature.
So over the years, how did it come to be known as such a positive day rather than what it should actually be remembered for?
So basically, the first celebration of like Australia Day actually was to raise funds for World War I. So it kind of has a very white and problematic history already. And so Australia only became a nation in 1901, and before that there were six British colonies who were like separate from each other, and then they united together in 1901. And then there were like one of the states decided that they would mark the Monday closest to the 26th of January as a public holiday to have an extended weekend to celebrate. And then in 1931 the Victorian government made it official, and then by 1935 all the other states followed as well. But then it wasn't actually a set holiday until 1994. So like for example, for my dad growing up, that wasn't a thing. That only became a thing really recently. So when people talk about it being really cultural and historical, that's not true. Like it's only been what, like 30 years now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not been around for very long, and a lot of people actually argue even like the meaning behind the date. Like there's no real reason to celebrate it, because as Helen mentioned, it's not even our day of federation where we all officially became a nation. It has actually no meaning to it other than, you know, the British past, which is like the raising of a British flag, which we now don't really have any tie to. It doesn't really represent even our own culture, nothing that we're actually proud of. And if you just look at the history behind it, you'll realize that the 26th of Australia isn't a meaningful day. So to call it Australia Day and to celebrate Australia Day is not really something that should be done.
Okay, so what is like people's general reaction to it within Australia? Are most people like aware of the meaning, the actual meaning behind this day is to like oppressing like people's original culture, or people are just like, no?
I mean, Yeah, like in, I would say, like mainstream and especially white and more well-off society, it's very much, and they very much hold on to it. There's like the sense of don't take my date to celebrate my country away. And people see it in a positive view and get very defensive around it. But because of the work of like First Nations people, awareness is rising, and you can see it in the numbers of people going to protests every year, rises every year. Because on the 26th, you have protests for things like reconciliation or even a treaty, because Australia is like the only major Commonwealth country that doesn't have a treaty with its people. So the First Nations people never gave up their right or entered into any agreement with the colonizers.
Yeah, I think my problem is like some of them are aware, like some Australians are aware, and they just continue to celebrate it because they think at least that there's been some sort of like reconciliation with the people. And they think that, you know, there's been like an apology when there really hasn't. And there's been no real help given to the people that's been effective in nature. So I think that's why a lot of people continue to celebrate Australia Day, because lately, as Helen mentioned, there's been growing protests and media coverage over these protests as a result of their growth. Which means that now it's quite well known that 26 should not be celebrated. Whether or not people actually go and, you know, listen to why it should not be celebrated is something that is very individual. But yeah, the reason why they would continue to celebrate it is because they're still under this impression that the government and the actual people themselves have now, you know, come to terms with what happened and put the past behind them, when the effects of the past is still very much being seen in society today.
So how is this being taught in school, for example? Like, it must be hard to try and show the negative side. Well, people might also just see it as a holiday, as a free day.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I went through school, right, I got the impression that Helen and I went through very different like schoolings, because I got taught first about, you know, who this Arthur Phillip was, the guy who raised the British flag. And then later, you know, we would revisit the topic and start to go into exactly why it was so tragic. Initially, it was just, you know, painted as sort of negative, but they didn't go into any detail really as to why it impacted them so much, like the Aboriginal people, I mean. It's only really once you get to kind of like grade 5, grade 6, that my teacher started to really drill into us, especially the Stolen Generations era of Australia. And the Stolen Generation era of Australia is this period from like 1910 to 1970s, where unlike America's kind of approach to, you know, like their black people, Australia decided that they're not going to even bother segregating and separating them, because they were getting these half castes, like these half black, half Aboriginal and half white children. That instead they were going to try bring them into the white society and continue to kind of condition them into fitting in hopes that eventually this Aboriginal kind of genes, genetics, features would get stamped out. And that's kind of what the movie that we presented about Australia Day was about, which was basically these three girls who get sent to one of these institutions where they would be taught religion, like, you know, the Catholic, Christian faith, wouldn't be allowed to speak the Aboriginal language, would have to only speak English, and would kind of be prepared to enter these white households, eventually get married off to someone, and essentially just be treated like a servant, slave of sorts even, like, yeah. Doing medial housework, not getting good education. Like, it was a period of time where some people don't even know where they came from in their country. They don't know who their family is. Some of them tried to return as the movie, you know, went over. But even then, what the movie doesn't show is really the hardship, even if you return, because there's no escaping really what was then the government's reach. Like, it would just bring you back in.
Yeah, and these like institutions, they were very abusive, like both physically and mentally. Like, children were killed there. And then even later, like, you still have people now who don't know that they have Aboriginal roots, because it was just people tried to hide it because they knew there were negative consequences. Like, as soon as the people at your school or your job found out that you were Aboriginal, you were treated worse.
Yes.
So just for context, can you tell us a bit more about the movie night from past Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, the movie follows this story of three Aboriginal girls from Western Australia. and how they are brought into this Moore River encampment, like a settlement, like an institution, and they decide to run away. And it kind of follows how they've escaped and their journey back home. And it follows, like, basically this, the oldest sister, really. Like, she's very smart in a way because she has to evade this Aboriginal tracker. Because what happened was, in order to catch these girls, this institution had actually gotten the help of a local Aboriginal man and got him to kind of, like, bring him back to the institution. And he did this because they actually had his daughter at the institution. So he would get to see his daughter there if he brought these girls back. So you can kind of see how it wasn't just necessarily the government. So you had, like, kind of, like, two people, right? There was, like, obviously, like, this man who was trying to make the most and see his daughter, even if that meant, you know, going against his kind of values and his, you know, moral conscience. And these girls who kind of, you know, were fighting against it, trying to make their way back to their families.
And, like, they literally walked basically from the bottom of the country to the top. Like, they walked for, what is it, 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so they, two of them make it back, and then they live there for a while, they kind of hide in the desert, and then they get taken back to the Moore River camp, to the, like, settlement, and then one of them walks all the way back again with her children, but the other one never gets to return to her home country. And what's, like, really important also to mention is that, like, First Nations people, they have these very, very strong ties to country, so to the place where they were born, which is, like, for me, for example, as, like, a white European person, hard to imagine, because that's not the way I grew up. But it's, and they don't see themselves as having ownership over their land. It's more like caretakers. Mm-hmm. It's something that we can't even express in our language, because it's such a big and meaningful, like, concept. So for them to be taken away from the places they were born and where their ancestors have lived for thousands and thousands of years, it's really, really painful. It really erases so much culture and so much history.
And keeping in mind, like, this happened really until the 1970s, like, this assimilation. So it was very recent. And that's why you can still very much see even, like, generational trauma in, like, modern day Australia. Because, like, a lot of them are quick to say, no, that ended, like, that's over. But it's not, because, like, this doesn't just affect, you know, the actual direct children. It affects also their children, you know. So it affects the oncoming generations.
I was thinking, since it's, like, a recent, quite recent event, is there, like, people around you who is actually affected by this kind of erasure of culture, and how did they react to it?
I mean, not really, to be honest. Like, at least in my high school, like, we all kind of already talked about it a lot in our primary schools. In terms of, like, any Aboriginal people, like, that I know, there was, like, I only really came across one kid in my primary school. And actually he moved away. And the problem is, like, honestly, you can see it now, like, thinking back on it as well. Like, the attendance rates even for these Aboriginal kids in public schools are really low. And, like, the, like, chances of success in general, you know, by attending tertiary education and even in health, like, they're lower than any other Australian. And I saw that primarily through, you know, this kid who, like, he would come to school, right? And, like, he wouldn't even have a school uniform, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, he can still feel, like, the financial and even the lack of feeling accepted within our society, because he was always kind of, like, off to the side, kind of just with his brother, because he had a little brother, and they would always just stick together. He would never really make an attempt to, like, approach us, or, like, we tried to approach him sometimes, and he really liked to play some sports. But, like, at that age, we still didn't quite understand kind of everything that might have, you know, fed into his kind of connection with his brother and kind of his unease of being, you know, in the society. But,
and because, like, the thing is, even though these, like, racist policies, the really outward ones, have ended, like the assimilation, for example, there's still huge, like, colonialism and, like, systemic racism going on. Like, when the colonizers got there, the population of First Nations people was obviously 100%, and now it's gone down to 3%, because in the first, like, 100-200 years, 90% of the population died as a result of the colonization. Like, they were murdered, or they brought diseases from Europe that they just couldn't stand against. And now you have things like less life expectancy for First Nations people, and in some, like, settlements in the north of the country, there's huge poverty, so you have diseases there that don't exist in any other country anymore because the state is just leaving them to themselves and not offering any help. And then, yeah, like, for example, with children, you can see that there's just higher rates of poverty, lower rates of education. Not obviously not because of the people, but because of the huge structural racism and the intergenerational trauma and everything that still goes on today.
So is this a politically divisive issue? Is there any representation in parliament or any parties that are specifically trying to pursue these interests?
I would say, like, from my perception, Australian government and, like, the state is very white and very male and old. And there is representation now, but it's only come in, like, the last few years. Like, you didn't have any Aboriginal people in parliament for the majority of the time that the parliament has existed. And it is a divisive issue. I feel like it's people react very strongly to it. Either they say no, like, don't take my culture away, I didn't do anything wrong, it was my ancestors. Like, that's how kids in school would react too, right? They would be like, no, don't hold me responsible for what they did and they should just get over it. It happened 200 years ago, without acknowledging the fact that all the consequences are still ongoing. But you do have a push for better, like, making things better, but even within that there's, like, division. There's the people that say, let's just change the date of Australia Day, like they refer to it as Invasion or Survival Day. And then there's people who say, no, we have to abolish it, because what are we going to celebrate about a country that still discriminates so heavily against the people who traditionally have the rights to this land and who we literally, like, murdered and wiped out. There were over 200, like, state-sanctioned massacres that the politicians signed off on during, like, what we call the Frontier Wars. That was the first, like, 100, 200 years of the colonization, where they were literally, it was war. The colonizers would go out and just murder huge populations of people, like women, children, men, everything.
So, as far as I'm hearing, I assume there haven't been any official apologies from the government. Are there any plans for that? Is that a topic?
I mean, I think the most famous apology speech was done only in 2008. I might be incorrect, but I'm pretty sure it was by our Prime Minister Kevin Rudd at the time. And that was a pretty famous speech because he was the first and I think one of the only ones still to, you know, publicly and officially acknowledge the trauma that was caused to the Aboriginal people, specifically through the Stolen Generations. Before that, they were still in the mindset and, you know, trying to give off an impression that what had happened during these Stolen Generations, you know, this process of assimilation was actually beneficial. So it was only until 2008, you can imagine, that they even acknowledged the fact that something negative had happened during that time. And now there's kind of like a mentality, I think, even within the government, that it's, you know, behind them, like, we apologized, you know, like, let bygones be bygones. So, to be honest, I don't see much movement in terms of the government, but I do see more movement in the people. Like, I see more people attending protests, more people trying to educate themselves. I see less people out on the 26th than I did when I was younger. Like, that's obviously a major improvement. So, I think eventually we're gonna get there, but it's only now starting to pick up more traction, I think, in the last couple of years, like, this whole movement, especially around, you know, Invasion Day.
I think the same issues, like, a lot of other countries are facing, like, United States or, like, Latin America, of choosing to acknowledge their trauma, giving apology and reconciliation, or just straight erase all the hatred and move on. I just hope we can get better, I guess.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think thank you for sharing your story with us today.
And yeah, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having us.
Also, what's the name of the movie?
The Rabbit Proof Fence.
Yeah, guys, if you are interested, then go watch it.
Okay. If you're in Udolisi Mosta, I sent you guys a link over email.